Is Matthew 12, verses 33 through 37. A tree and its fruit. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. A tree and its fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. May God bless that reading of his word.
Keep your scriptures open there, please. And if you haven't had a chance to find it, go ahead and find it now. There are no bulletins today. That is not Carolyn. That is me. We just didn't get it together this week to get bulletins together, so... That's all Tim, but we'll get by. And actually, it's a chance for us to get to learn scripture a little bit, find out where books are. We're going to talk today about words that reflect. And before I do this topic, never assume that when I talk about things up here, that I do not firmly plant my flag on the same map. In other words, I'm speaking to myself also. I am to explicate Scripture under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I am as much a target of these messages as anybody, more than. So, never assume that I think that, because I do not. But I want to tell you something about jeans. No, not the jeans you wear, jeans. Because we're going to talk about words that reflect. You know, there's a whole, and you've heard me talk about this before, you know about epigenetics, right? Of course. Everybody knows epigenetics. Epigenetics is a branch of study in medicine that says on each gene, you know, genes are what we become. Genes give us our everything, personality, everything. On every gene, there's a little, let's say a button at the top of each gene, and it's called an epigene. Epi meaning on the top of. Epidermis, skin, right, Inga? All right. Epi, genes. So every gene has a little button on it, we've discovered. And what that button does, it turns on or off the gene. Your traits are determined by if that button's on or off. And an interesting study has been done. And they found out that epigenes are turned on or off depending on what you hear, what people say to you. You know this is true, don't you? How do you feel physically? This has to do with health. If you are constantly living under a negative environment verbally, those people who live in that environment get sick. Physically sick. Because when we hear things like that are unpleasant, our epigenes turn off our immunity. And we then suffer physically. Conversely, you ever see people that go into the hospital and somebody's in a deep coma? And the physician will say to the visitor, talk to them. Because they can hear you. And when you speak to them pleasant things, kind things, loving things, it turns on the epigenes. And those epigenes then turn on our immunity. Fascinating study. Your mood can be augmented or depressed based on what people say to you, right? We all experience that. You could be having a great day. You can be feeling good. Come in contact with someone who's going to attack you, and how do you feel afterwards? It robs us of health. Words have such power. Rocky's all over this. Rocky and I have talked about this about a week ago. Rocky talks about the power of words, the power of the spoken word. Where is that most eminently displayed in Scripture?
Moses,
Teresa says. Creation is over here, right. Saying those words, just the spoken word, causes things to happen. People say things to you, and you are either going to act or you're not going to act. It's going to spur you into action. I want you to turn to Proverbs. Keep your finger in Matthew and turn to Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to just go through a few examples about speech and how Scripture is so adamant about how important it is for God's people in your home, in your relationships, what we say. Now, Proverbs 16, if you don't know where that is, that's on page 546. I hope none of you fell for that. Okay. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. Everybody got it? Proverbs chapter 16. All right, let's start with verse 23. We're just going to go through a couple of these. You know, I used to really be a student of Proverbs. I've gotten away from that, and I kind of regret it, but I just really used to read Proverbs a lot. It just teaches so much wisdom held in there. Look at verse 23. A wise heart instructs its mouth and increases learning with its speech. This is what Jesus says in Matthew, exactly. Look at that. The heart, our hearts, instruct our mouths. Our hearts tell our mouths what to say. Now, this is important. And also, our hearts can either, what, increase learning in people, or conversely, it can decrease learning in people. Make sense? But it starts with what? According to that verse. Where does it all start? Teresa says the mind. We'll categorize that with Moses. Okay. The heart. See? Verse. Are you on verse 23, Teresa? Okay. Are you going to answer any more questions today, Teresa? No. Verse 24. Let's look at the next one. Pleasant words are like a what? Honeycomb. Sweet to the taste and health to the body. Now, what is significant about that besides the obvious is honeycomb. Who keeps bees in here? Who's a beekeeper? Dave, that looks like something you would do. Yeah. No? Okay. Well, here's the important thing about that verse. Honey is good for you. It's good for your immune system. But even better is the honeycomb. If you can get a hold of honeycomb, there's a lot of nutrient held in there. So we learned that pleasant words are like the honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and health to the body, epigenes, right? Look at verse 28. A contrary man spreads conflict, and a gossip separates friends. Words, power. Now let's go to chapter 17, verse 4. A wicked person listens to malicious talk. Isn't that interesting? You would think who would be the wicked person? The one who's saying it, right? The one who listens is just as bad. You want to... I have my man meetings with my young protégés that I have self-appointed myself to be there. And I tell them about when people come up to you and they say something. They got an agenda. They want to draw you in to their agenda. And they want to attack somebody. So they're going to come up to you and they're going to say something malicious about a person to you. What are they really trying to do? They're trying to validate their anger and hate, aren't they? By getting you on board. And I tell them, it's like playing catch with somebody. What they're doing is they're throwing you the ball. And what they expect is what, Tori?
You to throw it back.
That's exactly right. They expect you to throw the ball back. The minute you do, the process keeps going. The ball goes back, you throw it back. Be careful about that, I tell them. The most powerful thing you can do when someone does that is what, Tad?
Don't throw it back.
And that means to be... That means to be... Teresa, you want to answer that one? Now, that's exactly right. Oh, boy. Now, that was witty. To be quiet. To be quiet. When someone says something to you, the most powerful thing you can do is not to say anything. They don't know what to do with that. They don't know where to go with that. A wicked person listens to malicious talk. A liar pays attention. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Let's go to verse 9. Whoever conceals an offense promotes love. But whoever gossips about it separates friends. You know what a lot of times happens in churches? When somebody does something, and I am chief of, you know, having done something that you hope no one talks about, right? And what happens in churches many times under the guise of making a prayer request? I've heard that so many times, or in a small group setting. Well, I'm not gossiping, but I think we all should remember so-and-so because here's what they did. No, instead of doing that, conceal it. Because that promotes love. Verse 20. One with a twisted mind will not succeed, and one with deceitful speech will fall into ruin. All of these proverbs are about the power of words. Verse 27. The intelligent person restrains his words. Don't throw the ball back. And one who keeps a cool head is a man of understanding. Verse 28. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent. Now that'll help some of you. Wow. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent. Discerning, he's also is considered discerning when he seals his lips. Now, Mark Twain had a famous quote about that, right? What is it, Gary?
It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Very good, that's right. Chapter 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, a flowing river, a fountain of wisdom. Verse 6. A fool's lips lead to strife, and his mouth provokes a beating. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his devastation, and his lips are a trap for his life. Verse 8. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down into one's innermost being. You love to hear gossip. That's what that is. You love to hear it. You take it in. Verse 21, last one. This is the most powerful one, I think. Life and death. Listen, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. How powerful is that? What kind of power do words have? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words matter. Let's see what Jesus said about this. Let's turn back to Matthew. Words that reflect what Teresa read. Verse 33, Matthew 12. Everybody there? Bibles in the back for you if you don't have one. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. What's he saying there? He says this, basically. You grow a good tree, and you're going to get good fruit. You grow a bad tree, you're going to get bad fruit. And the reason this is important, Jesus says, is because you, the tree, are going to be known by the fruit. And the fruit here is what? Speech, our words. Let's unpack this. You know, we think, verse 34, look what Jesus calls these people. Do you ever think of Jesus in that light? He's talking about words, and in that passage of talking about words, he calls people, the Pharisees, a brood of vipers. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? How can you? You can't. Because the tree's bad. Therefore, the fruit is going to be bad. Now, here's where it gets to it. And here's where it's very convicting for me. Maybe you. For, I want you to look at the connection in our bodies. For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. How succinct is that? You are going to say words, and when you say those words, the only thing you're doing is you are revealing something's in your heart. It overflows like a fountain. It comes up from the heart, overflows, and your mouth and tongue tell it, express it. What you say directly correlates with what your heart is like. For a good man / woman produces good things from his storeroom of good. This is the process. We need good hearts as God's people. And in order to get a good heart, something has to happen to us. And you're going to reveal what kind of heart you have by what you say. It's going to be evident to everyone around you because your mouth is going to give it away. And overflow is an important word there, because when something overflows, you can't help it, can you? Something that the image there is of something that is already full, and some more is going into it, and the more that goes into it, it forces the overflow to come out, and it can't, you can't help it. You're going to say it, and it all goes back to the heart. So we have to figure out, I think, as God's people, the important thing would be, how do we affect the heart? Don't go at the symptom. What would the symptom be here? Speech is the symptom. What is the cause? Heart. How do we get to the heart? A good man produces good things from his storeroom of good. The heart is a storeroom that is overflowing. And when that storeroom gets full, it starts to overflow. It produces something in a person. It produces speech, good speech in this case. And an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. Get the picture? Our hearts are a storeroom. Something comes into us, and again, this is our senses. It's a sense of hearing, actually. The way we hear things changes our heart. Our heart then responds with speech. Got it? Hearing, heart, speech. Why is this important? Verse 36. I tell you, On that day of judgment, people will have to give account for every careless word they speak. I don't know how we can parse that. I don't. I'd like to, wouldn't you? I'd like to symbolize that right quick. What's the fruit that is produced? Remember the epigenes. We have a tremendous responsibility as God's people because Jesus is saying here, you go around with a bad heart and you produce bad things in people, you're going to answer for it. You see that? Speech given in a vacuum affects no one. Speech spoken in this empty sanctuary affects no one. But Jesus says this, you're going to give account. I'm going to give account for what my words produced in people. I can either augment your mood or depress your mood, depending on my speech. I have a high responsibility as a pastor. I realize that. I know that my speech and the words have power on people. I have to make sure and be prayerful that what I say is Holy Spirit derived and driven. Because I'm going to answer for that. Now, I want you to go to the pastors and the preachers that you hear, maybe on television. Their words have power. And people are going to answer. You are going to answer. Because when you say something hurtful, critical, mean, gossiping, you are producing something in a person. It comes down, it's salvific. It comes right down to salvation for other people. You can turn an epigene for salvation off on a person, or you can turn an epigene on for salvation for a person. Jesus says, yeah, you may think those are careless words, but they have such power, and you have affected people. What you have produced in another person's life by your speech, you are going to answer for. Now, if we know that to be true, and we saw it in Proverbs, and it is true, and we know that it's from an overflow of the heart, yes, that's also true. The salient point to all of this is, how do we listen correctly to God's word so that it produces a storehouse of good? Have you ever tried to control your tongue? Try to stifle? How much better would it be if your speech was simply an overflow of good in your heart? Do you see the difference? See, you wouldn't have to work at it, would you? It would just be a natural consequence of who you are. I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will have to give account. You'll have to give account on how your words affected other people. You're here to be salt and light. You're here to bring the dawn. And woe to you if, as God's people, if you have a heart that is filled with, Jesus doesn't mince words, he says evil. And if your heart is filled with evil and criticism and hatred and anger, and that will find expression in your speech, and you do that and you spew that on people, and that has an effect on that person for eternity, yeah, you're going to answer for that, he says. Verse 37. For by your words, look at that. By your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. Now, what does that mean? Why is that true? Because our words reflect what? Exactly, Inga. Our words reflect what kind of heart we have. Do you see that? And it's, when it comes down to it, Jesus is saying, the sign and the symptom of whether you are one of my people or you're not one of my people is your words. And your words are a revelation of what kind of heart you have. So we don't look at that verse and we say, well, if I just go around parroting the right words. That reminds me, listen, let me help you out with something. We were in Mark and Carrie's room Tuesday morning with this, and their baby was dead. And this, a woman came in. You talk about parroting words and Christian cliches and Christian sound bites. Did you see any love from her?
I think she intended to be loving. She intended to.
Okay, Teresa's taking the high road. She intended to be loving, but she was saying words and sound bites that didn't have, I didn't think, from an overflow of a loving heart, and they fell completely flat. Just fell flat. Our words, whether our words, how about this? It's your heart. It's your heart. Not your pronunciation, not your sound bites, not your cliches. It's your heart that gives meaning to your words. Do you see that? We can have two people, in other words, one with a good heart, one with a bad heart. They can both say the exact same words. You've experienced this, haven't you? You know when someone's sincere and they're talking to you? And you know when someone's just saying things? Jesus is saying here, your heart gives your words meaning. Your heart invests your words with power to produce good or bad fruit in people. It is not how you say it. It is not your diction, your enunciation, or your pronunciation. It's your heart. And on that day, when it comes down to Jesus making a decision, he says, you're already going to know. Because by your words, you're going to be condemned. By your words, you're going to be acquitted, because it will be a direct correlation to how your heart was. And it'll be a direct correlation to whether or not you allowed my word, you heard my word in such a way that it penetrated and changed your heart. There, that's the salient point here. It comes down to how we listen. It comes down to how you listen to me if I am speaking from the Holy Spirit. It comes down to how you listen when you read Scripture, how those words hit you. You can hear one of four ways. Hard listening, shallow listening, choked listening, or good listening. Hard listening, shallow, choked, or good listening. What am I getting at here? Parable of the sower. And how the words we hear and what we listen to, whether it affects our heart or not, is everything to do with our attitudes, how we take it. Next week, your assignment is thus, to read chapter 13 of Matthew. I want you to live with chapter 13 of Matthew. I want you to let it get inside of you. I want you to look for the four types of listening: hard, shallow, choked, and good. I want you to see and discern by the Holy Spirit's direction the results of those types of listening. And we are going to next week spend some time on this, arguably one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the sower. And you know why this is important for us as God's people? Because this comes down to our salvation, how we listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you anointed these words and you teach us these hard lessons about listening in our hearts and our speech. Amen.